This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
So we're talking about some great things, some great principles in Scripture about growing in Christ and spiritual growth. You know, I call them the secrets of spiritual growth, not because they're hidden, but because most Christians really don't know about them. Yeah, we just think that there's a little formula we plug in and boom, we grow. But that's not how it works. And so I've been going over these principles. I hope you've been able to catch up on these podcasts. But we're concluding this thing by talking about some signs of spiritual growth. And we talked about the desire for meat and solid food, that you want more than just little, you know, sermonettes for Christianettes, that you are grounded in doctrine. Because of that, you are able to develop more discernment so that you are not tossed to and fro and easily misled by every Instagram post and video on YouTube that comes along. So let's talk about another sign of spiritual growth. It's found in 1 John 3, verses 24. It says this, "And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us." My friend, one of the signs that you are growing doesn't mean that you're fully mature yet, but one of the signs that you and I are growing in Christ is that we have a desire to obey God, that we obey God. And how do we obey God? Well, we obey God, he says here, by the fact that we abide in him. The one who keeps his commandments proves to be the one who abides in him. But what does it mean to abide? Well, we don't have time to go and explain this entire passage, but back in John 15, Jesus talks about the branch abiding in the vine. And if you abide in me, Jesus says, you will produce much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's John 15, 8. The idea of abiding is a Greek word menu, M-E-N-U, and it just simply means to rest in a naturally organic way, in the same way that a branch rests in the vine. And when that happens, then there's something natural that happens, is that the vine gives nourishment, i.e. growth, to the vine. And the vine's not grunting, it's not, you know, growling, it's not, trying really hard. It's just simply abiding. And when we learn the principle of resting in Christ, of gaining our nourishment in Christ, then we end up obeying him. Now, obviously not perfectly, because we all fail every day, but learning to abide in Christ, that's an entire series there of what it means to abide in Christ, but just suffice it to say that God wants you to gain your significance, your nourishment, your self-worth. It all comes from him. It's not intrinsic. That we don't have this magnanimous worth in the sense that we are created in the image of God, yes, but we gain our worth from Christ. We are not saved because we are worthy. And then Christ says, well, you're so worthy, I have to save you. No, our main worth is gained from who Christ is and what he's done for us. So watch this. When we abide in him, we're gaining that from him. We're getting that from him on a day-by-day basis, and we learn to obey him. And, you know, a Christian that never obeys God is an oxymoron. It's nonsensical, because Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, and yet you don't do what I say?" I mean, that verse ought to just be blasted over the Christian airwaves today. And it's not about legalism. It's not about rule keeping. Okay, that's very important. Because when you have a love relationship with someone, you never think of keeping rules. Did you get that? Because rules without relationship leads to either rebellion or legalism. But the principle is this, is that when you love someone, you can't wait to please them. You can't wait to obey them. You can't wait to do what makes them happy. And it is a sign of spiritual maturity and that you are in love with Jesus Christ when you want to obey him. Let me give you another one. It also comes from 1 John. This is from chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21. It says this. It says, and we know, and John loves that. In fact, he used it in the very same verse before that, and then the verse before that as well. And then he used it a couple of verses before that too. He says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding in order that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, verse 21, guard yourselves from idols. So one of the signs of spiritual maturity, now watch this, it's very important that you listen to this. One of the signs of spiritual maturity is that we have a confident knowledge of God and that we are not controlled by idols. Now, let me address the first thing here real quick. Having a confident knowledge of God is not arrogance. It is not pride. And once again, this is one of these incredible spiritual truths that Satan wants to counterfeit and hijack and steal and completely reimagine to portray your confidence as arrogance. Now, there are arrogant people. There are arrogant people in the church. There are egomaniacs in the church. There are certainly people in leadership positions who think it's all about them and think that people are coming every week just because they're so great. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a biblical, spiritual confidence that comes as a result of knowing God. Knowing God. Think about that for a second. Do you know God? You really know him in a personal, intimate way? Do you know what he thinks? Do you know what he's like? Do you know how he acts? Do you know what he would want in a certain situation? Obviously, we can't know this infinitely, but we can know it to a great degree through the Scripture. That's how you get to know God, is through Scripture. And John gets to the end of his letter there, and he says, look, we've been given this understanding so that we can know him. I mean, that's the point, to know God and to make him known, to know God and to spread his fame and his glory. And so as we know God in an intimate way, then that's a sign of spiritual maturity. In fact, that's going to be the ultimate sign of our spiritual maturity in eternity. Because in John 17, in the actual Lord's Prayer that Jesus himself prayed, In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says this in verse 3, and this is eternal life. Oh, you want to know what eternal life is? Yeah, here we go. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Same John wrote these two passages, by the way. So if you want to know what heaven's going to be like, part of what heaven's going to be like is it's knowing God. We know God intimately. We know God personally. And that comes over time through countless hours of immersing ourselves into the Word of God and into meditating and studying and thinking about His Word. Now, don't get me wrong. God is not asking all of us to become, you know, some sort of monk to go up on the top of a mountain and just study the Bible all day. In fact, He's probably asking no one to do that, because that means you're cut off from society and you're not able to spread the gospel and make disciples out in the world where we're supposed to be. Jesus said in the same prayer in John 17, I don't want you to take him out of the world, God, just protect them from the evil one. But what he is saying is incrementally over time, as you do one thing over time, it adds up. I mean, as you take one step, two steps, three steps in a journey, over time, if you just keep going and not stop, you're going to cover some ground. And, you know, I see this in my own life. As I look at my Bible, and the margins are just all brown because of the oil from my fingers over the past 40 years in this Bible. And the notes are just filling up the page. And some of the notes I can't even read anymore because they faded. The ink has faded. So I bought myself a new Bible Same study Bible. I use the Ryrie Study Bible, the New American Standard Version, in case anybody wants to know. And I find it hard to make that transition from my old Bible to my new Bible because I know where everything is here. But at some point, I'm going to have to start at least gradually transferring those notes. But guess what? My Bible didn't get like this in 1980, whenever it was when I bought it. It got like this over time. And this is how growth happens. This is how we know God. We do it over time. And so, friend, I just want to encourage you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Christian worker. You don't have to be called, you know, a professional in any sense of the imagination. All you have to do is simply to devote yourself regularly to God's Word. And when that happens, you have a confident knowledge of God, and that is a sign of spiritual growth. You are able to look at the world, look at situations, look at relationships, look at your own life and go, what would God have me think, say, or do? And when someone asks me a question, and I get asked questions all the time, I mean all the time, and I love your questions. Please keep sending them in, and I'll turn them into podcasts, okay? I'll just do a deal where I'll just do a, you know, from the mailbag kind of thing like we've done in the past. But here's the deal. And I can't answer all the questions that come to me, but I do my best. But here's the thing, is that when someone asks me a question, I never say to myself, well, what's in the old memory banks here? I don't ask that. I don't say, well, what's my experience teach me? Although, obviously, experience is important. I always ask myself, what does God say in His Word? And usually, I have an answer. When I don't have an answer, then I open my Bible and see if I can find one. And that's the way you want to be. Confident knowledge of God is a sign of spiritual maturity. Let me give you one more thing. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And this is Paul's instructions to a young man in the faith. He says, be diligent, Timothy, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Handling accurately the word of truth. That phrase there means to cut something straight. That's what it means. Like a carpenter would cut a piece of wood straight. Cut the word straight is what he's saying there. A maturing Christian is someone who is able to handle the word of God. Now, I want to share something very exciting to you here right now. Again, you may think of yourself as just a, I mean, who am I kind of thing, right? I'm just an ordinary Christian. I don't have a big ministry. People don't know my name, that kind of thing. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that you are fully equipped to handle the word. And the reason for that is so that you can explain the word of God and the truths of it, i.e. Jesus and salvation and life, to other people. And most Christians feel inadequate to talk about their faith, to share their faith, and to defend their faith. And what scares us to death is that we think that God wants us just to simply go out in the world and start shouting the faith to people, when in reality what God wants us to do is to simply use our existing relationships and our existing spheres of influence to be able to speak the word of God into it. Speak the truth into it. And, you know, God gives us opportunity to do that all the time. It's not about being overbearing about your faith. It's not about trying to talk about Jesus in every, you know, every conversation. You know, you're at lunch with someone and they ask, pass the salt. And you go, you know, Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. Let's talk about that. I mean, you don't have to turn everything into a spiritual conversation, you know, and witness to the girl at the Sonic drive-thru or whatever. It's not what he's saying. But he is saying that when we talk about the Bible, that we're doing it responsibly. And there are so many jackleg, gunslinging, fire from the hip, teachers, preachers, bloggers, podcasters, women preachers, and Christians who are just simply just throwing out principles and quote-unquote truths. And they're just taking verses. It's like taking a page in the Bible and just ripping it out and wadding it up and throwing it at someone. You haven't used that accurately. So yes, before you start sharing any truth, you need to know what it means, and then you simply need to share it in your own words and using the language that best communicates to the person you're talking to. And so that is why, by the way, and this is why you should consider having a study Bible, a good study Bible, something that you could glean from others' insight. I mean, I'm not here today because I made up everything that I believe. I'm here because I studied the works of others. I usually typically spend an hour or an hour and a half a day in a book. And I'm working through a series of stacks of books, and it takes me a long time to get through them because you know what I'm doing? I've got a pen in my hand or a highlighter, and I'm highlighting, I'm writing in the margins of these books, and I'm learning. I'm continuing to learn. I did that all through seminary. I did that through 30 plus years of pastoral ministry, because the main job of a pastor is to be able to equip believers with the scripture. And so I've spent 30 plus years diving into the Bible every day. And then now that I'm podcasting and traveling around and speaking and writing books and, you know, doing all these things, I'm still doing that every day. It's a discipline, but it's not a hard discipline. It's something that I want to do. So all that to say to you is that that's what you should do. You should get a good study Bible. I mean, something like a Ryrie study Bible or a MacArthur study Bible, something like that. And to help stimulate your thoughts and to give you insights into the Word of God. Good commentaries are another way to do that as well. And again, it's not that everyone should become this, you know, huge biblical scholar, but it's the idea that you're pushing yourself. It's the idea that you're saying, hey, I want more. Like we talked about earlier, one of the first signs of growth is I want more. You always want more. You want to know what that word means. You want to know if there's something special about this verse or about why Paul said what he said, when he said it, to who he said it, to whom he said it, right? And that's all about handling accurately the word of truth. And when we do that, we can be faithful to God and also confident to know, God, I represented you well today because I knew your word. Now, don't shrink back from sharing the word just because you're afraid that you don't know it all. Share what you do know. And for the stuff you don't know, just say, well, I don't know it yet. So handling accurately the word of truth is one of the signs of spiritual growth, one of those five signs we talked about. Hey, there's so much more we could say in this series, but the whole idea is that God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you should be continually growing in various ways. Sometimes there are seasons of growth where you grow a lot. Sometimes you're like, ugh, he must be doing some root work in me because I don't see a lot of fruit here. So there are different seasons because we're organic, liquid people. You know, we kind of flow and ebb and that type of thing. That's okay. But the idea is that you're still pursuing spiritual growth. And sometimes you just do it by faith because you don't feel like it. I get that way myself. So you need to make sure that you are doing it the right way and not trying to force it. Hey, when I was back in high school, I had a friend of mine who his life dream was to be a professional basketball player. There was only one problem, though. He wasn't very tall. And so his number one desire began to be to grow physically. And he would do anything to achieve this goal. He took vitamins. He took hormone injections. He did special exercises. And in fact, he was so adamant about it that he persuaded his dad to take him to a clinic out of state. And he had himself stretched. Now, I don't know what all that involved, but I just know that he came back and he said, hey, I think I'm an inch taller or whatever. Now, this guy never made it to college basketball and never made it to the NBA. But at least his desire for growth and to achieve a certain level of growth was admirable and at least unmatched in my experience. So the question then becomes, just how bad do you want to grow in your relationship with Christ? Do you want to be stronger in your faith? And what are you willing to do to accomplish that desire? Keep in mind, again, there is no instant growth formula. There is no overnight spirituality, no microwave to maturity. There's no drive-through disciples, no skipping, no cutting corners, no cheating. Instead, you just have to eat regularly and eat the right way. Learn to feed yourself, focus on developing your walk with Christ, and then watch out for those marks of maturity in your life. You're going to find yourself feeling stronger every day as you grow in Him. If you do that, I guarantee you're never going to go back to being satisfied with milk. You're never going to go back to diapers. or bottles or baby food again, because you're going to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my desire for you. Even more importantly, that is God's desire for you. And I pray that'll be your experience. Hope this little series has been helpful to you. And if it has, shoot me a note at jeffkinleyauthor@gmail.com or go to my website and contact me there.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.